And now we have our first reading, which is Psalm 148, verses 1 to 7. It's going to be read by Ian from the Boys Brigade.
Praise the Lord from the earth, sea monsters and all ocean depths. Lightning and hail, snow and clouds, strong winds that obey his command. Praise him, hills and mountains, fruit trees and forests, all animals, tame and wild, reptiles and birds. Praise him, king and all peoples, princes and other rulers, young women and young men, old people and children too. Let them all praise the name of the Lord. His name is greater than all other. His glory is above earth and heaven.
And now we have our second reading, which is from Matthew 13, verses 1 to 9 and 18 to 23. Having trouble reading this morning. It's going to be read to us by Jessica, Ayla, Abby, and Eleanor.
And Abby,
yep.
Reading Matthew 13. Verses 1 to 9, the parable of the sower. That same day, Jesus left his house and went to the lakeside, where he sat down to teach the crowd that gathered around him. So was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it. While the crowd stood on the shore, he used parables to tell them many things.
Once there was a man who went out to sow grain. As he scattered the seed in the field, some of it fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some of it fell on rocky ground, where there was little soil. The seed soon sprouted because the soil wasn't deep. When the sun came up, it burned the young plants, and because the roots had not grown deep enough, the plants soon dried up. Some of the seeds fell among thorn bushes, which grew up and choked the plants. But some seeds fell in good soil, and the plants bore grain. Some had 100 grains, others 60, and others 30. And Jesus concluded, "Listen, then, if you have ears."
Matthew 13, verses 18 to 23. Jesus explains the parable of the sower. Listen, then, and learn what the parable of the sower means. Those who hear the message about the kingdom but do not understand it are like the seeds that fell along the path. The evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in them. The seeds that fell on the rocky ground stand for those who receive the message gladly as soon as they hear it, but does not sink deep into them and they don't last long.
So when trouble or persecution comes because of the message, they give up at once. The seeds that fell among thorn bushes stand for those who hear the message, but the worries about this life and the love for riches choke the message, and they don't bear fruit. And the seeds sown in the good soil stand for those who hear the message and understand it. They bear fruit, some as much as 100, others 60, and others 30. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Sometimes what goes on in people's lives is not always as obvious as in the story of the wheat. There you can see fairly soon what happens to the seed that is planted. Only the wheat, in good soil, lasts and is fruitful. However, with potatoes, the story is a bit different. Who's planted potatoes? Oh, that's quite good. That's quite a lot of people. Right. Well, you'll know then. You plant the seed potato in the ground, and then you have to wait. The shoots come up, so you know something's happening. The plants grow, and you know they're alive, but you don't know what's going on underneath the ground. And then the top bits die away a bit, don't they? But you still don't know what's going on underneath the ground. You have to wait. And then finally, that day comes, out comes the fork. And what do you do then? Yes. Right. And it's a bit of a surprise, isn't it? What's going to be underneath all the foliage at the top? Is it going to be 2 potatoes? Is it going to be 10 potatoes? You don't know until you've actually dug them up. Maybe the plant didn't look very good on the top, but then there's loads of potatoes underneath. Maybe the plants look great on the top, and you were very pleased with them. But when you dig them up, there's only 1 or 2 small potatoes. Sometimes our lives are easier to compare to potatoes than to wheat. Only we ourselves and God knows what's going on inside us. Maybe we look very good and holy on the outside, but really our lives are not very fruitful. Maybe our lives look dim and ordinary, but in our hearts and our own quiet ways, we're being very thoughtful and kind and fruitful in God's kingdom. Only the harvest of time will tell. As we celebrate the harvest this year, let's remember these words from the Bible, which come from 1 Corinthians. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's hearts. At that time, each will receive his praise from God. Later in the service, symbolic offerings of the harvest are going to be brought up in thanksgiving for God's goodness. So let us use that time as a chance to offer ourselves again to God. Perhaps you're like the strong wheat, or maybe, on the other hand, the hidden, fruitful potato plant, bringing forth a life of abundant harvest for God. Have a think about it and then decide. Now, I don't know if you noticed when you came in that there's various harvest displays about. Did anyone notice the ones in the hall, in the porch? Did you just some people notice them, yes, yeah. We've got another one over there. That's the Boys Brigade one. Is that the Ranger one? That's the Brownie one? Oh, right. The Rangers did the porch, right. And who did the one over there? The Boys Brigade, the one over there, right. Okay. So, oh, and don't forget the lovely one from the Rainbows, which is the Harvest of the Sea, all to do with fish. So well done. They're all lovely. So do have a look at them before you go home and admire them and take a picture of them if you like. And thank you very much to the groups for doing those. I now need 8 volunteers. Oh, I've got some volunteers this morning. That's good. Right. Right. Ooh, who am I going to have? So, first of all, this is the world that God made. Okay, we have a picture of the world there. And these are the people who live in the world that God made. And we have a rich man. A poor man. And a beggar man. And this is the farmer who grows the wheat to feed the people who live in the world. And then we have the businessman who stores the grain. He buys from the farmer. We've got the farmer there? So when I call out your name, hold up your piece of paper. who grows the wheat for the people who live in the world. So the poor man, the rich man, and the beggar man. Hold up yours. We all live in the world that God made. And then this is the miller. Right. Okay, miller, hold up your piece of paper. Who makes the flour? Got the flour? Right. From the crop he gets from the businessman, who stores the wheat he buys from the farmer, who grows the wheat to feed the people, rich man, the poor man, the beggar man, who live in the world that God made. And then this is the baker, who bakes the bread. Bread. From the flour he gets from the miller, who makes the flour from the crop he gets from the businessman, who stores the grain he buys from the farmer, who grows the wheat to feed the people, the rich man, the poor man, the beggar man, who live in the world that God made. And then this is the queue that forms at the baker's, who bakes the bread he gets from the miller, who makes the flour from the crop he gets from the businessman, who stores the grain he buys from the farmer, who grows the wheat to feed the people, the rich man, the poor man, the beggar man, who live in the world that God made. However, even though there's enough food in the world for everyone, if it is shared equally, that is not what happens. God didn't make it like that. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much for your help.